Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Dramatis Personae of The Tempest by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Alonso, King of Naples, read by Craig Franklin.
Sebastian, his brother, read by Thomas Peter.
Prospero, the right Duke of Milan, read by Brad.
Antonio, his brother, the usurping Duke of Milan, read by Sonia.
Ferdinand, son to the King of Naples, read by Thomas Peter.
Gonzalo, an honest old counsellor, read by Craig Franklin.
Adrian, a lord, read by Brad.
Francisco, a lord, read by Thomas Peter. Caliban, a savage and deformed slave, read by Thomas Peter.
Trinculo, a jester, read by Craig Franklin.
Stefano, a drunken butler, read by Brad. Master of a ship, read by Brad.
Boatswain, read by Craig Franklin.
First Mariner, read by Sonia.
Second Mariner, read by Brad.
Third Mariner, read by Craig Franklin.
Fourth Mariner, read by Thomas Peter.
Miranda, daughter to Prospero, read by Sonia. Ariel, an airy spirit, read by Sonia.
Iris, a spirit, read by Craig Franklin.
Ceres, a spirit, read by Thomas Peter.
Juno, a spirit, read by Sonia.
Stage directions, read by Craig Franklin. End of Dramatis Personae. Act 1 of The Tempest by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 1. Scene 1. On a ship at sea. A tempestuous noise of thunder and lightning heard. Enter a shipmaster and a boatswain.
Boatswain!
Here, mister, what cheer?
Good, speak to the mariners. Fall to at Yarley, or we run ourselves aground. Be stir, be stir!
Exit. Enter mariners.
Hi, my hearts, cheerly, cheerly, my hearts, yeah. Take in the topsail, tend to the master's whistle. Blow till thou burst thy wind, if room enough.
Enter Alonso, Sebastian, Antonio, Ferdinand, Gonzalo, and others.
Good boatswain, have care. Where's the master? Play the men.
I pray now keep below.
Where is the master, boatswain?
Do you not hear him? You mar our labour. Keep your cabins. You do assist the storm.
Nay, good, be patient.
When the sea is hence, what cares these roarers for the name of king? To cabin, silence, trouble us not.
Good, yet remember whom thou hast aboard. None that I more love than myself. You are a counsellor. If you can command these elements to silence and work the peace of the present, we will not hand a rope more. Use your authority. If you cannot, give thanks you have lived so long, and make yourself ready in your cabin for the mischance of the hour, if it so hap. Cheerly, good hearts, out of our way, I say.
Exit.
I have great comfort from this fellow. Methinks he hath no drowning mark upon him. His complexion is perfect gallows. Stand fast, good fate, to his hanging. Make the rope of his destiny our cable, for our own doth little advantage. If he be not born to be hanged, our case is miserable.
Exeunt. Re-enter Boatswain.
Down with the topmast! Yea, lower, lower! Bring her to try with main course!
A cry within.
A plague upon this howling! They are louder than the weather or our office!
Re-enter Sebastian, Antonio, and Gonzalo.
Yet again, what do you here? Shall we give o'er and drown? Have you a mind to sink?
Pox o' your throat, you bawling, blastless, and charitable dog.
Work you then.
Hang care. Hang you, horse and insolent noisemaker. We are less afraid to be drowned than thou art.
I'll warrant him for drowning, though the ship were no stronger than a nutshell and as leaky as an unstanched wench.
Lay her a hold, a hold! Set her two courses off to sea again! Lay her off!
Enter mariners wet.
All lost! To praise! All lost!
What, must our mouths be cold? The king and prince at prayers. Let's assist them, for our case is as theirs.
I'm out of patience.
We are merely cheated of our lives by drunkards. This white-chapped rascal, would thou mightst lie drowning the washing of 10 tides.
He'll be hanged yet, though every drop of water swear against it, and gape at widest to glut him.
A confused noise within.
Mercy on us!
We split!
Farewell, my wife and children! Farewell, brother!
We split!
Let's all sink with the king.
Let's take leave of him.
Exeunt, Antonio and Sebastian.
Now would I give 1,000 furlongs of sea for an acre of barren ground, long heath, brown firs, anything! The wills above be done, but I would fain die a dry death.
Exeunt. Scene 2. The Island. Before Prospero's cell. Enter Prospero and Miranda.
If by your art, my dearest father, you have put the wild waters in this roar, allay them. The sky, it seems, would pour down stinking pitch, but that the sea, mounting to the welkin's cheek, dashes the fire out. Oh, I have suffered with those that I saw suffer. A brave vessel, who had, no doubt, some noble creature in her, dashed all to pieces. Oh, the cry did knock against my very heart. Poor souls, they perished. Had I been any god of power, I would have sunk the sea within the earth, or ere it should the good ship so have swallowed, and the frothing souls within her.
Be collected. No more amazement. Tell your piteous heart there's no harm done.
Oh, woe the day!
No harm. I have done nothing but in care of thee, my dear one, thee, my daughter, who art ignorant of what thou art, not knowing of whence I am, nor that I am more better than Prospero, master of a full poor cell, and thy no greater father.
more to know, did never meddle with my thoughts.
'Tis time I should inform thee farther. Lend thy hand, and pluck my magic garment from me. So.
Lays down his mantle.
Lie there, my art. Wipe thou thine eyes. Have comfort. The direful spectacle of the wreck, which touched the very virtue of compassion in thee, I have, with such provision in mine art, so safely ordered, that there is no soul, no, not so much perdition as an hair, betid to any creature in the vessel which thou heardst cry, which thou sawst sink. Sit down, for thou must now know farther.
You have often begun to tell me what I am, but stopped, and left me to a bootless inquisition, concluding, stay, not yet.
The hours now come. The very minute bids thee ope thine ear. Obey, and be attentive. Canst thou remember a time before we came unto this cell? I do not think thou canst, for then thou wast not out 3 years old.
Certainly, sir, I can.
By what? By any other house or person? Of anything the image tell me that hath kept with thy remembrance.
'Tis far off, and rather like a dream than an assurance that my remembrance warrants. Had I not 4 or 5 women once that tended me?
Thou hadst, and more, Miranda. But how is it that this lives in thy mind? What seest thou else in the dark backward and abysm of time? If thou rememberest aught ere thou camest here, how thou camest here thou mayest.
But that I do not.
12 years since, Miranda, 12 years since, thy father was the Duke of Milan, and a prince of power.
Sir, are not you my father?
Thy mother was a piece of virtue, and she said thou wast my daughter, and thy father was Duke of Milan, and his only heir and princess no worse issued.
Oh, the heavens! What foul play had we, that we came from thence? Or blessed wast we did?
Both, both, my girl. By foul play, as thou sayest, were we heaved thence, but blessedly holp hither.
Oh, my heart bleeds to think at the teen that I had turned you to, which is from my remembrance. Please you, father.
My brother and thy uncle, called Antonio, I pray thee mark me, that a brother should be so perfidious. He whom, next thyself, of all the world I loved, and to him put the manage of my state, as at that time, through all the signories it was the first, and Prospero the prime duke, being so reputed in dignity, and for the liberal arts without a parallel, those being all my study, the government I cast upon my brother, and to my state grew stranger, being transported and wrapped in secret studies. Thy false uncle, dost thou attend me?
Sir, most heedfully.
Being once perfected how to grant suits, how to deny them, whom to advance, and whom to trash for overtopping, new created the creatures that were mine, I say, or changed them, or else new formed them, having both the key of officer and office, set all hearts of the state to what tune pleased his ear, that now he was the ivy which had hid my princely trunk and sucked my verdure out on't. Thou attends not.
How, good sir, I do.
I pray thee mark me. I, thus neglecting worldly ends, all dedicated to closeness and the bettering of my mind, with that which, but by being so retired, or prized all popular rate in my false brother, awaked an evil nature, and my trust, like a good parent, did beget of him a falsehood in its contrary, as great as my trust was, which had indeed no limit, a confidence sans bound. He being thus lauded, not only with what my revenue yielded, but what my power might else exact, like one who, having into truth by telling of it, made such a sinner of his memory, to credit his own lie, he did believe he was indeed the Duke. Out of the substitution and executing the outward face of royalty with all prerogative. Hence his ambition growing. Dost thou hear?
Your tale, sir, would cure deafness.
To have no screen between this part he played and him he played it for, he needs will be absolute Milan. Me, poor man, my library was dukedom large enough. Of temporal royalties he thinks me now incapable. Confederates so dry he was for sway with the King of Naples, to give him annual tribute, do him homage, subject his coronet to his crown, and bend the dukedom yet unbowed, alas, poor Milan, to most ignoble stooping.
Oh, the heavens!
Mark his condition and the event, then tell me if this might be a brother.
I should sin to think but nobly of my grandmother. Good wombs have borne bad sons.
Now the condition. This King of Naples, being an enemy to me inveterate, hearkens my brother's suit, which was that he, in lieu of the premises of homage, and I know not how much tribute, should presently extirpate me and mine out of the dukedom, and confer fair Milan with all the honours on my brother, whereon a treacherous army levied one midnight, fated to the purpose, did Antonio open the gates of Milan, and to the dead of darkness the ministers for the purpose hurried thence me and thy crying self.
Alack for pity! I, not remembering how I cried out then, will cry it over again. It is a hint that rings mine eyes to it.
Hear a little further, and then I'll bring thee to the present business which now's upon us, without the which this story were most impertinent.
Wherefore did they not that hour destroy us?
Well demanded, wench, my tale provokes that question. Dear, they durst not. So dear the love my people bore me, nor set a mark so bloody on the business, but with colours fairer painted their foul ends. In few, they hurried us aboard a bark, bore us some leagues to sea, where they prepared a rotten carcass of a boat, not rigged, nor tackle, sail, nor mast. The very rats instinctively have quit it. There they hoist us to cry to the sea that roared to us, to sigh to the winds, whose pity, sighing back again, did us but loving wrong.
Alack, what trouble was I then to you?
Oh, a cherubim thou wast that did preserve me! Thou didst smile, infused with a fortitude from heaven, when I have decked the sea with drops full salt, under my burden groaned, which raised in me an undergoing stomach to bear up against what should ensue.
How came we ashore?
By providence divine. Some food we had and some fresh water that a noble Neapolitan, Gonzalo, out of his charity, who being then appointed master of this design, did give us, with rich garments, linen, stuffs, and necessaries, which since have steadied much. So, of his gentleness, knowing I loved my books, he furnished me from mine own library with volumes that I prize above my dukedom.
Would I might but ever see that man.
Now I arise.
Resumes his mantle.
Sit still, and hear the last of our sea sorrow. Here in this island we arrived, and here have I, thy schoolmaster, made thee more profit than other princesses can, that have more time for vainer hours, and tutors not so careful.
Heavens thank you for it. And now, I pray you, sir, for still 'tis beating in my mind, your reason for raising this sea-storm.
Know thus far forth. By accident, most strange, bountiful fortune, Now, my dear lady, hath mine enemies brought to this shore, and by my prescience I find my zenith doth depend upon a most auspicious star, whose influence, if now I court not but omit, my fortunes will ever after droop. Here cease more questions. Thou art inclined to sleep. 'Tis a good dullness, and give it way. I know thou canst not choose.
Miranda sleeps.
Come away, servant, come. I am ready now. Approach my Ariel, come.
Enter Ariel.
All hail, great master, grave sir, hail. I come to answer thy best pleasure, be it to fly, to swim, to dive into the fire, to ride on the curled clouds. To thy strong bidding, task Ariel and all his quality.
Hast thou, spirit, performed to point the tempest that I bade thee?
To every article I boarded the king's ship, now on the beak, now in the waist, the deck, in every cabin I flamed amazement. Sometimes I'd divide and burn in many places. On the top mast, the yards, and the bowsprit would I flame distinctly, then meet and join. Jove's lightnings, the precursors of the dreadful thunderclaps, more momentary and sight outrunning, were not. The fire and cracks of sulphurous roaring, the most mighty Neptune seemed to besiege and make his bold waves tremble, yea, his dread trident shake.
My brave spirit! Who was so firm, so constant, that this coil would not infect his reason?
Not a soul, but felt the fever of the mad, and played some tricks of desperation. All but Merinous plunged in the foaming brine, and quit the vessel. Then, all afire with me, the king's son, Ferdinand, with hair upstaring, then, like reeds, not hair, was the first man that leaped, cried, "Hell is empty, and all the devils are here!"
Why, that's my spirit. But was not this nigh shore?
Close by, my master.
But are they, Ariel, safe?
Not a hair perished. On their sustaining garments, not a blemish, but fresher than before. And as thou badest me, in troops I have dispersed them about the isle. The king's son have I landed by himself, whom I left cooling of the air with sighs in an odd angle of the isle, and sitting his arms in this sad knot.
Of the king's ship, the mariner, say how thou hast disposed, and all the rest of the fleet.
Safely in harbour is the king's ship. In the deep nook where once thou calledst me up at midnight to fetch dew from the still-vexed Bermoothies, there she slid, the mariners all under hatches stowed, who, with a charm joined to their suffered labour, I have left asleep. And for the rest of the fleet, which I dispersed, they all have met again, and are upon the Mediterranean float, bound sadly home for Naples, supposing that they saw the king's ship wrecked, and his great person perish.
Ariel, thy charge exactly is performed, but there's more work. What is the time of the day?
Past the mid-season.
At least 2 glasses. The time twixt 6 and now must by us both be spent most preciously.
Is there more toil? Since thou dost give me pains, let me remember thee what thou hast promised, which is not yet performed me.
How now, Moody? What is't thou canst demand?
My liberty.
Before the time be out, no more.
I prithee, remember I have done thee worthy service, told thee no lies, made thee no mistakings, served without all grudge or grumblings. Thou didst promise to bait me a full year.
Dost thou forget from what a torment I did free thee?
No.
Thou dost, and think'st it much to tread the ooze of the salt deep, to run upon the sharp wind of the north, to do me business in the veins of the earth when it is baked with frost.
I do not, sir.
Thou liest, malignant thing. Hast thou forgot the foul witch Sycorax, who with age and envy was grown into a hoop? Hast thou forgot her?
No, sir.
Thou hast. Where was she born? Speak, tell me.
Sir, in Argier.
Or was she so? I must once in a month recount what thou hast been, which thou forgetst. This damned witch Sycorax, for mischiefs manifold and sorceries terrible to enter human hearing, from Argier, thou knowest, was banished. For one thing she did, they would not take her life. Is not this true?
Aye, sir.
This blue-eyed hag was hither brought with child, and here was left by the sailors. Thou, my slave, as thou reportest thyself, was then her servant, and for thou wast a spirit too delicate to act her earthy and abhorred commands, refusing her grand hests, she did confine thee by help of her more potent ministers, and in her most unmitigable rage into a cloven pine, within which rift imprisoned thou didst painfully remain a dozen years, within which space she died and left thee there, where thou didst vent thy groans as fast as mill-wheels strike. Then was this island, save for the son that she did litter here, a freckled whelp hag-born, not honoured with a human shape?
Yes, Caliban, her son.
Dull thing, I say so. He, that Caliban, whom now I keep in service, thou best knowest what torment I did find thee in. Thy groans did make wolves howl and penetrate the breasts of ever-angry bears. It was a torment to lay upon the damned, which Sycorax could not again undo. It was mine art, when I arrived and heard thee, that made gape the pine and let thee out.
I thank thee, master.
If thou more murmurest, I will rend an oak and peg thee in his knotty entrails, till thou hast howled away 12 winters.
Pardon, master. I will be correspondent to command, and to my spiriting, gently.
Do so, and after 2 days, I will discharge thee.
That's my noble master. What shall I do? Say what? What shall I do?
Go make thyself like a nymph of the sea, be subject to no sight but thine and mine, invisible to every eyeball else. Go take this shape, and hither come in't. Go, hence with diligence.
Exit Ariel.
Awake, dear heart, awake. Thou hast slept well. Awake.
Oh, the strangeness of your story put heaviness in me.
Shake it off. Come on, we'll visit Caliban, my slave, who never yields us kind answer.
Oh, 'tis a villain, sir, I do not love to look on.
But as 'tis, we cannot miss him. He does make our fire, fetch in our wood, and serves in offices that profit us. What ho, slave, Caliban, thou earth thou, speak.
Caliban, within.
There's wood enough within.
Come forth, I say. There's other business for thee. Come, thou tortoise, when?
Re-enter Ariel like a water nymph.
Fine apparition, my quaint Ariel, hark in thine ear.
My lord, it shall be done.
Exit.
Thou poisonous slave, got by the devil himself upon thy wicked dam, come forth.
Enter Caliban.
As wicked days ere my mother brushed with raven's feather from unwholesome fen drop on you both. A southwest blow on ye and blister you all over.
For this be sure, tonight thou shalt have cramps, side stitches that shall pen thy breath up, urchin shell for that vast of night that they may work all exercise on thee. Thou shalt be pinched as thick as honeycomb, each pinch more stinging than bees that made 'em.
I must eat my dinner. This island's mine, by Sycorax, my mother, which thou takest from me. When thou camest first, thou strokest me, and madest much of me. Wouldst give me water with berries, and teach me how to name the bigger light, and how the less, that burn by day and night. And then I loved thee, and showed thee all the qualities of the isle, the fresh springs, brine pits, barren place, and fertile. Cursed be I that did so. All the charms of Sycorax, toads, beetles, bats, lie on you. For I am all the subjects that ye have, which first was mine own king. And here ye star me in this hard rock, whilst ye do keep from me the rest of the island.
Thou most lying slave, whom stripes may move, not kindness. I have used thee, filth as thou art, with human care, and lodged thee in mine own cell, till thou didst seek to violate the honour of my child.
Would it been done, thou didst prevent me. I had peopled this isle with Calibans.
Abhorred slave, which any print of goodness wilt not take, being capable of all ill, I pitied thee, took pains to make thee speak, taught thee each hour one thing or other, when thou didst not, savage, know thine own meaning, but wouldst gabble like a thing most brutish. I endowed thy purposes with words that made them known, but thy vile race, though thou didst learn, had that int which good natures could not abide to be with. Therefore wast thou deservedly confined into this rock, who hadst deserved more than a prison.
Ye taught me language, and my profit on't is, I ne'er had a curse. The red plague rid ye for learning me your language.
Hagseed, hence! Fetch us in fuel, and be quick that best to answer other business. Shrugst thou, malice? If thou neglect'st or dost unwillingly what I command, I'll rack thee with old cramps, fill all thy bones with aches, make thee roar that beast shall tremble at thy din.
No, prithee.
Aside.
I must obey. His art is of such power, it would control my damned god, Setebus, and make a vassal of him.
So, slave, hence.
Exit Caliban. Re-enter Ariel, invisible, playing and singing. Ferdinand following.
Come to the cielo sands, and then take hands. Curtsy when you haven't kissed the wild waves whist. Foot it fitly here and there, and sweet sprites the burden bear.
Ha, hark, bow wow. The watchdogs bark, bow wow.
Hark, hark, I hear the strain of strutting chanting clear, cry cock-a-doodle-do.
Where should this music be? The air or the earth? It sounds no more. And sure, it waits upon some god of the island, sitting on a bank, weeping again the king my father's wreck. This music crept by me upon the waters, allaying both their fury and my passion with its sweet air. Thence I have followed it, or it hath drawn me, rather. But 'tis gone. No, it begins again. The ditty does remember my drowned father. This is no mortal business, nor no sound the earth owes. I hear it now above me.
The fringed curtains of thine eye advance, and say what thou seest yond.
What is it? A spirit? Lord, how it looks about! Believe me, sir, it carries a brave form, but 'tis a spirit.
No, wench. It eats and sleeps, and hath such senses as we have such. This gallant, which thou seest, was in the wreck, and, but he's something stained with grief, that's beauty's canker, thou mightst call him a goodly person. He hath lost his fellows, and strays about to find him.
I might call him a thing divine, for nothing natural I ever saw so noble.
Prospero aside.
It goes on, I see, as my soul prompts it. Spirit, fine spirit, I'll free thee within 2 days for this.
Most sure, the goddess on whom these airs attend, vouchsafe my prayer may know if you remain upon this island, and that you will some good instruction give how I may bear me here. My prime request, which I do last pronounce, is, oh, you wonder, if you be made or no.
No wonder, sir, but certainly a maid.
My language! Heavens! I am the best of them that speak this speech, were I but where it is spoken.
How, the best? What wert thou if the King of Naples heard thee?
A single thing as I am now that wanders to hear thee speak of Naples. He does hear me, and that he does I weep. Myself am Naples, who with mine eyes, never since at ebb, beheld the king my father wrecked.
A leg for mercy!
Yes, faith, and all his lords, the Duke of Milan and his brave son being twain.
Prospero aside.
The Duke of Milan and his more braver daughter could control thee if now 'twere fit to do it. At the first sight they have changed eyes. Delicate Ariel, I'll set thee free for this.
To Ferdinand.
A word, good sir. I fear you have done yourself some wrong. A word.
Why speaks my father so ungently? This is the third man that ever I saw, the first that ever I sighed for. Pity move my father to be inclined my way.
Oh, if a virgin, your affection not gone forth, I'll make you the Queen of Naples.
Soft, sir, one word more.
Aside.
They are both in either's powers, but this swift business I must uneasy make, lest too light winning make the prize light.
To Ferdinand.
One word more I charge thee that thou attend me. Thou dost here usurp the name thou owest not, and hast put thyself upon this island as a spy, to win it from me, the Lord on't.
No, as I am a man.
There's nothing ill can dwell in such a temple. If the ill spirit have so fair a house, good things will strive to dwell with it.
Follow me. Speak not you for him, he's a traitor. Come. I'll manacle thy neck and feet together. Sea water shalt thou drink. Thy food shall be the fresh brook mussels, withered roots and husks wherein the acorn cradled. Follow.
No, I will resist such entertainment till mine enemy has more power.
Draws, and is charmed from moving.
Oh, dear father, make not too rash a trial of him, for he is gentle and not fearful.
What? I say my foot, my tutor? Put thy sword up, traitor, who makes the show but dares not strike. Thy conscience is so possessed with guilt. Come from thy ward, for I can here disarm thee with his stick and make thy weapon drop.
Beseech you, father.
Hence, hang not on my garments.
Sir, have pity. I'll be his surety.
Silence! One word more shall make me chide thee, if not hate thee. What? An advocate for an impostor? Hush! Thou think'st there is no more such shapes as he, having seen but him and Caliban. Foolish wench! To the most of men this is a Caliban, and they to him are angels.
My affections are then most humble. I have no ambition to see a goodlier man.
Come on, obey. Thy nerves are in their infancy again, and have no vigour in them.
So they are. My spirits, as in a dream, are all bound up. My father's loss, the weakness which I feel, the wreck of all my friends, nor this man's threats, to whom I am subdued, are but light to me. Might I but through my prison once a day behold this maid. All corners else of the earth let liberty make use of. Space enough have I in such a prison.
Prospero aside.
It works.
To Ferdinand.
Come on. Thou hast done well, fine Ariel.
To Ferdinand.
Follow me.
To Ariel.
Hark what thou else shalt do me.
Be of comfort. My father's of a better nature, sir, than he appears by speech. This is unwonted, which now came from him.
Thou shalt be as free as mountain winds, but then exactly do all points of my command.
To the syllable.
Come, follow. Speak not for him.
Exeunt. End of Act One. Act Two of The Tempest by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act Two. Scene One. Another part of the island. Enter Alonso, Sebastian, Antonio, Gonzalo, Adrian, Francisco, and others.
Beseech you, sir, be merry. You have cause, so have we all of joy, for our escape is much beyond our loss. Our hint of woe is common every day. Some sailor's wife, the masters of some merchant, and the merchant have just our theme of woe. But for the miracle, I mean our preservation, few in millions can speak like us. Then wisely, good sir, weigh our sorrow with our comfort.
Prithee, peace.
He receives comfort like cold porridge.
The visitor will not give him over so.
Look, he's winding up the watch of his wit. By and by it will strike.
Sir.
One. Tell.
When every grief is entertained that's offered, comes to the entertainer.
A dollar.
Dollar comes to him, indeed. You have spoken truer than you purposed.
You have taken it wiselier than I meant you should.
Therefore, my lord...
Fie, what a spendthrift is he of his tongue.
I prithee spare.
Well, I have done, but yet...
He will be talking.
Which of he or Adrian, for a good wager... first begins to crow.
The old cock.
The cockerel.
Done. The wager?
Laughter.
A match.
Though this island seem to be desert.
So you're paid.
uninhabitable and almost inaccessible.
Yet...
He could not miss it.
It must needs be of subtle, tender, and delicate temperance.
Temperance was a delicate wench.
Aye, and subtle, as he most learnedly delivered.
The air breathes upon us here most sweetly.
As if it had lungs and rotten ones.
Or as 'twere perfumed by a fen.
Here is everything advantageous to life.
True. Save means to live.
Of that there's none or little.
How lush and lusty the grass looks! How green!
The ground indeed is tawny.
With an eye of green in it.
He misses not much.
No, he doth but mistake the truth totally.
But the rarity of it is, which is indeed almost beyond credit,
as many vouched rarities are,
that our garments, being as they were, drenched in the sea, hold, notwithstanding their freshness and glosses, being rather new dyed than strained with salt water.
If but one of his pockets could speak, would it not say he lies?
Aye, or very falsely pocket up his report.
Methinks our garments are now as fresh as when we put them on first in Afric, at the marriage of the king's fair daughter Claribel to the king of Tunis.
'Twas a sweet marriage, and we prosper well in our return.
Tunis was never graced before with such a paragon to their queen.
Not since Widow Dido's time.
Widow? A pox o' that. How came that widow in? Widow Dido?
What if he had said widower Aeneas too? Good lord, how you take it.
Widow Dido, say you? You make me study of that. She was of Carthage, not of Tunis.
This Tunis, sir, is Carthage.
Carthage?
I assure you, Carthage.
Ha! His word is more than the miraculous harp. He hath raised the wall and houses too.
What impossible matter will he make easy next?
I think he will carry this island home in his pocket and give it his son for an apple.
And sowing the kernels of it in the sea, bring forth more islands.
Aye.
Why, in good time.
Sir, we were talking that our garments seem now as fresh as when we were at Tunis, at the marriage of your daughter, who is now queen.
And the rarest that ever came there.
Bait, I beseech you, Widow Dido.
Oh, Widow Dido. Aye, Widow Dido.
Is not, sir, my doublet as fresh as the first day I wore it? I mean, in a sort?
That sort was well fished for.
When I wore it at your daughter's marriage.
You cram these words into mine ears, against the stomach of my sense. Would I had never married my daughter there, for coming thence my son is lost, and in my rate she too, who is so far from Italy removed, I ne'er again shall see her. O thou mine heir of Naples and of Milan, what strange fish hath made his meal on thee?
Sir, he may live. I saw him beat the surges under him, and ride upon their backs. He trod the water, whose enmity he flung aside, and breasted the surge most swollen that met him. His bald head above the contentious waves he kept, and oared himself with his good arms and lusty stroke to the shore, that o'er his wave-worn bases bowed, as stooping to relieve him. I not a doubt he came alive to land.
No, he's gone.
Sir, you may thank yourself for this great loss, that would not bless our Europe with your daughter, but rather lose her to an African. Where she, at least, is banished from your eye, who hath cause to wet the grief on't.
Prithee, peace.
You are kneeled to and importuned otherwise by all of us,
and the fair soul herself weighed between loathness and obedience, at which end of the beam should bow. We have lost your son, I fear, forever. Milan and Naples have more widows in them of this business-making than we bring men to comfort them. The fault's your own.
So is the dearest of the loss.
My lord Sebastian, the truth you speak yet lacks some gentleness, and time to speak it in, you rub the sore when you should bring the plaster.
Very well.
And most chirurgically.
It is foul weather in us all, good sir, when you are cloudy.
Foul weather?
Very foul.
Had I plantation of this isle, my lord?
He'd sow it with nettle seed.
Or docks, or mallows.
And were the king on't, what would I do?
Scape being drunk for want of wine.
In the commonwealth, I would be contraries, execute all things, for no kind of traffic would I admit. No name of magistrate, letters should not be known. Riches, poverty, and use of service, none. Contract, succession, born, bound of land, tilth, vineyard, none. No use of metal, corn, or wine, or oil. No occupation, all men idle. All, and women too, but innocent and pure. No sovereignty.
Yet he would be king on't.
The latter end of his commonwealth forgets the beginning.
All things in common nature should produce, without sweat or endeavour, treason, felony, sword, pike, knife, gun, or need of any engine, would I not have. But nature should bring forth of its own kind all foison, all abundance, to feed my innocent people.
No marrying among his subjects?
None, man. All idle. Whores and knaves.
I would, with such perfection govern, sir, to excel the golden age.
Save his majesty.
Long live Gonzalo.
And do you mock me, sir?
Prithee no more. Thou dost talk nothing to me.
I do well believe, your highness, and did it to minister occasion to these gentlemen, who are of such sensible and nimble lungs that they always used to laugh at nothing.
'Twas you we laughed at.
Who, in this kind of merry fooling, am nothing to you, so you may continue and laugh at nothing still.
What a blow was there given.
And it had not fallen flat long.
You are gentlemen of brave metal. You would lift the moon out of her sphere if she would continue it in 5 weeks without changing.
Enter Ariel, invisible, playing solemn music.
We would so, and then go a bat-fowling.
Nay, my good lord, be not angry.
No, I warrant you, I will not adventure my discretion so weakly. Will you laugh me asleep? For I am very heavy.
Go sleep, and hear us.
All sleep, except Alonso, Sebastian, and Antonio.
What? All so soon asleep? I wish mine eyes would with themselves shut up my thoughts. I find they are inclined to do so.
Please you, sir. Do not omit the heavy offer of it. It seldom visits sorrow. When it doth, it is a comforter.
We too, my lord, will guard your person while you take your rest and watch your safety.
Thank you. Wondrous heavy.
Alonso sleeps. Exit Ariel.
What a strange drowsiness possesses them.
It is the quality of the climate.
Why doth it not then our eyelid sink? I find not myself disposed to sleep.
Nor I. My spirits are nimble. They fell together all as by consent. They dropped as by a thunderstroke. What might, worthy Sebastian? Oh, what might? No more. And yet methinks I see it in thy face. What thou shouldst be, the occasion speaks thee, and my strong imagination sees a crown dropping upon thy head.
What? Art thou waking?
Do you not hear me speak?
I do, and surely it is a sleepy language, and thou speakst out of thy sleep. What is it thou didst say? This is a strange repose to be asleep with eyes wide open, standing, speaking, moving, and yet so fast asleep.
Noble Sebastian, thou lettest thy fortune sleep, die rather, wingst whilst thou art waking.
Thou dost snore distinctly. There's meaning in thy snores.
I am more serious than my custom. You must be so too, if heed me, which to do troubles thee over.
Well, I am standing water.
I'll teach you how to flow.
Do so. To ebb hereditary sloth instructs me.
Oh, if you but knew how you'd a purpose cherish while thus you mock it, how in stripping it you more invest it. Ebbing men, indeed, most often do so near the bottom run by their own fear or sloth.
Prithee, say on. The setting of thine eye and cheek proclaim a matter from thee, and a birth, indeed, which throws thee much to yield.
Thus, sir, although this lord of weak remembrance, this who shall be of as little memory when he is earthed, hath here almost persuaded, for he's a spirit of persuasion, only professes to persuade. The king his son's alive. 'Tis as impossible that he's undrowned as he that sleeps here swims.
I have no hope that he's undrowned.
Oh, out of that no hope, what great hope have you? No hope that way is. Another way, so high a hope that even ambition cannot pierce a wink beyond, but doubt discovery there. Will you grant with me that Ferdinand is drowned?
He's gone.
Then tell me, who's the next heir of Naples?
Claribel.
She that is queen of Tunis. She that dwells 10 leagues beyond man's life. She that from Naples can have no note unless the sun were posed. The man in the moon's too slow, till newborn chins be rough and razorable. She that from whom we all were sea-swallowed, though some cast again, and by that destiny to perform an act whereof what's past is prologue. What to come in yours and my discharge?
What stuff is this? How say you? 'Tis true my brother's daughter's queen of Tunis. So is she heir of Naples, twixt which regions there is some space.
A space whose every cubit seems to cry out, how shall that Claribel measure us back to Naples? Keep in Tunis, and let Sebastian wake. Say, this were death that now hath seized them. Why, they were no worse than now they are. There be that can rule Naples as well as he that sleeps. Lords that can prate as amply and unnecessarily as this Gonzalo. I myself could make a chuff of as deep chatter. Oh, that you bore the mind that I do. What a sleep were this for our advancement. Do you understand me?
Methinks I do.
And how does your content tender your own good fortune?
I remember you did supplant your brother Prospero.
True. And look how well my garments sit upon me. Much fitter than before. My brother's servants were then my fellows. Now they are my men.
But for your conscience?
Aye, sir. Where lies that? If 'twere a kibe, would put me to my slipper. But I feel not this deity in my bosom. 20 consciences that stand twixt me and Milan, can it be they, and melt, ere they molest? Here lies your brother, no better than the earth he lies upon. If he were that which now he's like, that's dead, whom I, with disobedient steel, 3 inches of it, can lay to bed forever. Whilst you, doing thus, to the perpetual wink for aim I put this ancient morsel, this Sir Prudence, who should not upbraid our course. For all the rest, they'll take suggestion as a cat laps milk. They'll tell the clock to any business that we say befits the hour.
Thy case, dear friend, shall be my precedent. As thou gartst Milan, I'll cup my Naples. Draw thy sword. One stroke shall free thee from the tribute which thou payest, and I, the king, shall love thee.
Draw together, and when I rear my hand, do you the like to fall it on Gonzalo.
But one word.
They talk apart. Re-enter Ariel Invisible.
My master, through his art, foresees the danger that you, his friend, are in, and sends me forth, for else his project dies, to keep them living.
Sings in Gonzalo's ear.
While you here do snoring lie, open-eyed conspiracy, his time doth take. If of life you keep a care, shake of slumber and beware. Awake, awake.
Then let us both be sudden.
Now, good angels, preserve the king.
They wake.
Why, how now? Ho, awake. Why are you drawn? Wherefore this ghastly looking? What's the matter?
Whilst we sit here securing your repose, even now we heard a hollow burst of bellowing like bulls, or rather lions. It did not wake you? It struck my ear most terribly.
I heard nothing.
Oh, 'twas a din to fry the monster's ear, to make an earthquake. Sure, it was the roar of a whole herd of lions.
Heard you this, Gonzalo? Upon mine honour, sir, I heard a humming, and that a strange one too, which did awake me. I shaked you, sir, and cried as mine eyes opened. I saw their weapons drawn. There was a noise. That, verily, 'tis best we stand upon our guard, or that we quit this place. Let's draw our weapons.
Lead off this ground, and let's make further search for my poor son.
Heavens keep him from these beasts, for he is sure in the island. Lead away.
Prospero, my lord, shall know what I have done. So, king, go safely on to seek thy son.
Exeunt. Scene 2. Another part of the island. Enter Caliban with a burden of wood. A noise of thunder heard.
Awry infections that the sun sucks up from bogs, fens, flats, on Prosper Fall, and make him by inchmeal or disease. The spirits hear me, and yet I needs must curse. But they'll no pinch, fright me with urchin shows, pitch me in the mire, nor lead me like a firebrand in the dark out of my way, unless he bid him. But for every trifle they set upon me, sometime like apes that mow and chatter at me, and after bite me, then like hedgehogs which lie tumbling in my barefoot way, and mount their pricks at my footfall. Sometime am I all wound with adders, who with cloven tongues do hiss me into madness.
Enter Trinculo.
Lo now, lo! Here comes the spirit of East, and to torment me for bringing wood in slowly. I'll fall flat, perchance he will not mind me.
There's neither bush nor shrub to bear off any weather at all. And another storm brewing. I hear it sing i' the wind. Yon same black cloud, yon huge one, looks like a foul bombard that would shed his liquor. If it should thunder as it did before, I know not where to hide my head. Yon same cloud cannot choose but fall by pailfuls. What have we here? A man or a fish? Dead or alive? A fish. He smells like a fish, a very ancient and fish-like smell, a kind of not of the newest, poor John. A strange fish. Were I in England now, as once I was, and had but this fish painted, not a holiday fool there, but would give a piece of silver, there would this monster make a man. Any strange beast there makes a man. When they will not give a doit to relieve a lame beggar, they will lay out 10 to see a dead Indian. Legged like a man, and his fins like arms. Warmer, my troth, I do now let loose my opinion, hold it no longer. This is no fish, but an islander that hath lately suffered by a thunderbolt. Alas, the storm is come again. My best way is to creep under his gabardine. There is no other shelter hereabout, and misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows. I will here shroud till the dregs of the storm be past.
Enter Stefano singing, a bottle in his hand.
I shall no more to sea. Here shall I die ashore. This is a very scurvy tune to sing at a man's funeral. Well, here's my comfort. The master, the swabber, the boatswain, and I, the gunner and his mate, loved Maumeg and Marion and Marjorie, but none of us cared for Kate, for she had a tongue with a tang, would cry to a sailor, go hang. She loved not the savour of tar nor of pitch, yet a tailor might scratch her where'er she did itch. Then to sea, boys, and let her go hang. This is a scurvy tune, too. But here's my comfort.
Do not torment me.
What's the matter? Have we devils here? Do you put tricks on with savages and men of Ind? I have not scaped drowning to be afeard now of your four legs, for it hath been said, as proper a man as ever went on four legs cannot make him give ground, and it shall be said so again while Stefano breathes at's nostrils.
The spirit torments me. Oh.
This is some monster of the isle with four legs who hath got, as I take it, an ague. Where the devil should he learn our language? I will give him some relief, if it be but for that. If I can recover him and keep him tame, and get to Naples with him, he's a present for any emperor that ever trod on neat's leather.
Do not torment me, prithee. I'll bring my wood home faster.
He's in his fit now, and does not talk after the wisest. he shall taste of my bottle. If he have never drunk wine afore, it will go near to remove his fit. If I can recover him and keep him tame, I will not take too much for him. He shall pay for him that hath him, and that soundly.
Thou dost me yet but little hurt. Thou wilt anon, I know it by thy trembling. Now Prosper works upon thee.
Come on your ways, open your mouth. Here is that which will give language to you, cat. Open your mouth. This will shake your shaking, I can tell you, and that soundly. You cannot tell who's your friend. Open your chaps again.
I should know that voice. It should be. But he is drowned, and there are devils. Oh, dear, fend me.
4 legs and 2 voices? A most delicate monster. His forward voice now is to speak well of his friend. His backward voice is to utter foul speeches and to detract. If all the wine in my bottle will recover him, I will help his ague. Come. Oh. Amen. I will pour some in thy other mouth.
Stefano!
Oh, doth thy other mouth call me? Mercy, mercy! This is a devil and no monster. I will leave him. I have no long spoon.
Stefano, if thou beest Stefano, touch me, and speak to me, for I am Trinculo. Be not afeard, thy good friend Trinculo.
If thou beest Trinculo, come forth. I'll pull thee by the lesser legs. If any be Trinculo's legs, these are they. Thou art very Trinculo indeed. How earnest thou to be the siege of this moon-calf? Can he vent Trinculo's?
I took him to be killed with a thunderstroke. But art thou not drowned, Stefano? I hope now thou art not drowned. Is the storm overblown? I hid me under the dead moon-calf's gabardine for fear of the storm. And art thou living, Stefano? Oh, Stefano, 2 Neapolitans scaped.
Prithee, do not turn me about. My stomach is not constant.
Caliban aside.
These be fine things, and if they be not sprites, that a brave god, and bear celestial liquor, I will kneel to him.
How didst thou escape? How camest thou hither? Swear by this bottle how thou camest hither. I escaped upon a butt of sack, which the sailors heaved o'erboard by this bottle, which I made of the bark of a tree with mine own hands since I was cast ashore.
I'll swear upon that bottle to be thy true subject, for the liquor is not earthly.
Here, swear then how thou escapest.
Swim ashore, man, like a duck. I can swim like a duck, I'll be sworn.
Here, kiss the book. Though thou canst swim like a duck, thou art made like a goose.
Oh, Stefano, hast any more of this?
The whole butt, man. My cellar is in a rock by the seaside where my wine is hid. How now, moon-calf, how does thine ague?
Hast thou not dropped from heaven?
Out of the moon, I do assure thee. I was the man of the moon when time was.
Ah, I have seen thee in her, and I do adore thee. My mistress showed me thee and thy dog. And thy bush.
Come, swear to that. Kiss the book. I will furnish it anon with new contents. Swear. Oh.
By this good light, this is a very shallow monster. I afeard of him. A very weak monster. The man of the moon. A most poor, credulous monster. Well drawn monster, in good sooth.
I'll show thee every fertile inch of the island, and I will kiss thy foot. I prithee, be my god.
By this light, a most perfidious and drunken monster. When God's asleep, he'll rob his bottle.
I'll kiss thy foot. I'll swear myself thy subject.
Come on, then, down and swear.
I shall laugh myself to death at this puppy-headed monster, a most scurvy monster I could find in my heart to beat him.
Come, kiss.
But that the poor monster's in drink, an abominable monster.
I'll show thee the best springs, I'll pluck thee berries, I'll fish for thee, and get thee wood enough. A plague upon the tyrant that I serve. I'll bear him no more sticks, but follow thee, thou wondrous man.
A most ridiculous monster to make a wonder of a poor drunkard.
Oh, I prithee, let me bring thee where crabs grow, and I with my long nails will dig thee pignuts, show thee a jay's nest, and instruct thee how to snare the nimble marmoset. I'll bring thee to clustering filberts, and sometimes they'll get thee young scammels from the rock. Wilt thou go with me?
I prithee now, lead the way without any more talking. Trinculo, the king and all our company else being drowned, we will inherit here. Here, bear my bottle, fellow Trinculo. We'll fill him by and by again.
Farewell, master, farewell, farewell.
A howling monster, a drunken monster.
No, my dams don't make for fish, nor fetch and firing, at requiring, nor scrape trencher, nor wash dish. Ban, ban, cacala, ban, has a new master, get a new man. Freedom, heyday, heyday, freedom, freedom, heyday, freedom.
Oh, brave monster, lead the way.
Exeunt. End of Act Two.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.